Okay, good morning, everybody. I'm Patricia Rutledge from Allegheny College in Pennsylvania. Last year, I was fortunate enough to spend my sabbatical in Minneapolis working with the alcohol epidemiology team at the University of Minnesota, and I'm going to be talking about some of the work that I did with them. This entire project, as Kath mentioned, is been funded by a grant to Darren Erickson from the NIAAA, and I'm just going to be talking about a small part of that larger project today. The project that I'm going to be mentioning to you today has to do with creating measures of alcohol policy enforcement, particularly looking at local law enforcement agencies. Just like everybody else has said, I have no relationships, financial or otherwise, to disclose here, other than working with the great people in Minnesota. So that's a relationship to disclose, but not one that anybody is going to worry about. There are some research questions around the piece of this project that I worked with. They have to do with both agency and state levels of the project. First of all, the main thing I'm going to be talking about today is, can local law enforcement agencies be classified based on patterns of alcohol policy enforcement activities? What variables predict enforcement classification at the agency level? Then we also have some state level questions. Can enforcement classification be aggregated to the state level? And what variables predict enforcement patterns at the state level? As I said, this is the main thing I'm going to talk about today. So the work that we did around developing this measure of alcohol policy enforcement within local law enforcement agencies. I'm going to briefly have a little bit of time to talk about two other pieces of this having to do with variables that predict these classifications, and then also a little bit of information about aggregation to the state level. All right, first a little bit about our methodology. This was all work that was done before I got to Minnesota, prior to my sabbatical, so others in the room would know much more about it than I do. But they took a random sample of over 1,600 local law enforcement agencies. They had a response rate of about 2/3 of the agencies. They found a key informant at each agency, interviewed that informant about all kinds of different enforcement activities that were going on in the local agency. So for my project here, I'm going to be talking to you about 29 different enforcement activities that we ultimately ended up for this project coding as, yes, we do that, no, we do not do that. And you can see here's the lengthy list of all of these enforcement activities. Each one of these will come back in a minute as I begin to talk about it, so don't worry if you don't get a chance to see all of them. So part of our analysis plan, we divided just conceptually these 29 activities into the five domains that you see here, three of them having to do with underage drinking, so underage possession and consumption, provision to underage individuals, compliance checks or underage sales, impaired driving, and overservice. And we then used a statistical technique called latent class analysis to classify these responding local law enforcement agencies within each of these five domains. Just a few words about latent class analysis, how it works, before I move on to the actual findings. So what latent class analysis does is it's able to identify subgroups or classes of respondents. In this case, our respondents were the local law enforcement agencies. It uses specialized software. I used a software called M+ to carry out this latent class analysis. The basic approach that we followed is we input the dichotomous indicator variables. That's a fancy word for saying, yes, we do this enforcement activity, no, we do not do this enforcement activity. And then we tried, ran, and this is the traditional way to do this, you start with a two-class solution, a three-class solution, et cetera. So the first, you know, the two-class solution, the software is trying to separate all of the respondents into two broad categories, the three-class solution, three categories, four categories, et cetera. And there, one selects the best solution based on fit statistics and how interpretable the solution is. And the output gives us probability of class membership. That is the probability, in this case, that each agency belonged to one category or another category. And then obviously when you have probabilities, you can figure out the most likely one. So I'm going to go through each of these. There are these five enforcement domains. And what you see on this first one is our first domain, underage possession and consumption. And you can see the six dichotomous indicator variables that went into this particular latent class analysis. So party patrols, yes, we do party patrols. No, we do not do party patrols. Field patrols, random inspections. Yes, we have arrests for fake ID use or citations. No, we do not. Cops and shops. And then a more general question about do you or do you not do other underage possession and consumption enforcement. So is this clear to everybody? We have these six indicator variables. Yes, we do it. No, we do not. So a particular agency could say yes to all six or no to all six or something in between. And then the latent class analysis is going to extract what patterns we have. So here are the patterns for this first domain. So we found 22% of the agencies, so about a fifth of the agencies, were what we called uniformly high. They are pretty much doing all of these six things. On the other hand, about a fourth of the agencies were uniformly low. They are pretty much not doing any of these things. And then in between, we found a sizable number of agencies, about half of the agencies, were mainly doing party patrols and field patrols, not doing the other enforcement activities. And then we had a small class, but a meaningful class, where the agencies were mainly focused on fake ID use, arrests and citation, and then this category of other. Okay, so now that was the first domain. Moving on to the second domain, a domain related to provision to underage individuals. Again, we had six dichotomous indicator variables that you can see here. So yes, we do shoulder tap. No, we do not do shoulder tap. Yes, we have education efforts. No, we don't, et cetera. And the latent class analysis for the second domain looks like this. It just extracted the best solution consisted of these three classes. You can see the biggest one, about 60% of the agencies were uniformly low. In other words, they were pretty much not doing any of these underage provision enforcement activities. Then we had two other classes. We can't really exactly put these in order. One group was primarily doing social host enforcement, and the other group was doing primarily educational enforcement. Okay, the third domain, this again relates to underage drinking, compliance checks, sales to underage individuals. And you can see here the indicator variables are do you or do you not do compliance checks. The next one is do you or do you not do all on-premise establishments in your jurisdiction. Do you or do you not do all off-premise sales establishments in your jurisdiction. Thank you. Brain cramp. How frequently do you do these? Do you do two or more a year or not? Do you conduct follow-ups or not? And do you do your follow-ups within 3 months or not? And so we extracted these following four groups of agencies. Again, you can see, unfortunately, the largest group of agencies are agencies that are not really doing anything. They're not basically not doing compliance checks. However, about a fourth of the agencies were uniformly high. That is, they are doing compliance checks. They're doing them at all on and off premise establishments. They're doing them frequently. They're doing follow-ups. They're doing the follow-ups quickly. And then you can see a couple of small but, again, meaningful interim groups. One of the groups is doing, they are doing compliance checks, but not at all establishments. However, they are doing follow-ups. So they're probably doing some kind of sample of establishments within their jurisdiction and then following up with them. And then the other group we're calling limited checks. They are doing compliance checks, not at all establishments, and not necessarily following up in a timely manner. Then our fourth enforcement domain is the important domain of impaired driving, alcohol-impaired driving. And we had just four indicator variables for this one. We asked the agencies, do you do sobriety checkpoints or not? Do you have saturation patrols or not? Do you have open container enforcement or not? And then do you partner with media or not? And we found these three enforcement classes. The uniformly high class is about one-fifth of the agencies, so they're doing all of these things. There is also about a third, slightly less than a third, of the agencies are pretty low. They weren't doing very much around impaired driving enforcement. And then about half of the agencies focused solely on, or pretty much solely on, saturation patrols and working with the media. And our fifth and final domain is the domain of overservice. You can see we had seven indicator variables here. Again, interviews with the local law enforcement agencies, asking them about random inspections, walkthroughs, et cetera. And you can see all of those here. And this one, the largest class was the uniformly low class. Again, it's about 80%, so that's a pretty high percentage of the agencies were not engaging in any kind of over-service enforcement activity. You can see that only 6% were uniformly high. That is that they were doing pretty much all of these things. Another small but meaningful group we called the multiple strategy group. They were mainly doing walkthroughs, observation, last call, random inspection. And then about 10% of the agencies simply focused on walkthroughs and random inspections. So to kind of summarize all of that, we were able to generate these measures of local law enforcement enforcement of alcohol policies in these five domains. We were able to categorize the agencies in terms of what pattern of enforcement activity they engaged in. So to my darkest green box, yes, we can classify agencies into meaningful patterns. One of the things we wanted to do with this information was to see what variables predict how well local law enforcement agencies are engaging in these activities. And this is a kind of a busy slide that summarizes some logistic regression models that we ran. And I wanted to just show it to you to give you a kind of a flavor of what we did and to show you the most important variable that came out of this is, do you have an officer assigned to alcohol enforcement? So agencies that had an officer assigned to alcohol enforcement were in the higher categories on all of these variables. Of course, this is cross-sectional data, so we don't know cause and effect here, but certainly having an officer assigned to alcohol enforcement is a meaningful variable. Another consistent finding, and perhaps not surprising, is that when there was a perception that there was some kind of problem around underage drinking or drinking and driving, the agencies tended to have be in the higher enforcement categories. Another thing that we did is we've begun, and this is just kind of in its preliminary form, the things I've talked about now, we've written a paper about, and it's being reviewed right now. So hopefully at some point soon you'll be able to see that paper. Another thing that's very preliminary right now is we're looking at the aggregation of these enforcement classifications to the state level. And I'm going to give you just a little bit of a preview of that. So what the graph I'm going to show you here is just around impaired driving. I could make a graph for each of the five domains, but I'm just going to focus on impaired driving right now. So what we have across the bottom are the states, and what we have on the y-axis is the percent of agencies in the state. And again, remember, these are local law enforcement agencies, so it doesn't include Highway Patrol, for example. So the percent of agencies in each of the impaired driving enforcement classes, and remember, there were three of them, and these results are preliminary, I just want to point out. So we can see here Utah, California, Virginia, North Carolina had how it breaks out in terms of what percent were uniformly high. So you can see, you know, 40, not quite 50% in the uniformly high category. You can see very few agencies in these states in the uniformly low category. And you can see a sizable number of agencies in the saturation, patrols, and media categories. And then I want to show you the other end of the scale, so I wouldn't overwhelm you immediately with the whole thing. So here are the states that are not doing as well. So we have Texas on the far right there. You can see very few agencies in the uniformly high category, lots and lots of agencies in the uniformly low category. And then now I'll show the entire thing for the whole, all of the states. And then another thing we did with this information is we created a map, just a preliminary, again here, preliminary data. So we're looking at the percent of agencies in the uniformly high enforcement category by state. And you can, I'm first showing you the key for this. So the darker color would be over 35%. And then as it gets lighter and lighter, there are fewer and fewer agencies percentage-wise in this high enforcement, impaired driving enforcement category. And again, these are preliminary results. So again, as the color gets darker, that means there are a greater percentage of the local law enforcement agencies engaging in the higher enforcement pattern. Okay. So in summary, yes, we can categorize local law enforcement agencies based on their pattern of alcohol policy enforcement. We're seeing that variables do predict these enforcement categories, in particular having an officer in charge of alcohol enforcement is a very important predictor variable. And we're getting some preliminary evidence that yes, we can aggregate this measurements to the state level. Another very important piece of this project that I want to mention is that not only do we care about, you know, measuring these enforcement activities, but we care very much about how they relate to important outcomes. And just want to put a plug in for one of my colleagues' presentations. Julie's going to be making a presentation tomorrow using some of the data from this project. She's going to be taking the impaired driving law enforcement piece of this that I've talked to you about today, and she's going to be relating it to drinking and driving behavior. So I would encourage you to come to that, although it's kind of early in the morning, but it will definitely be worth it to come see her talk. And I want to thank you all very much for coming today, and to thank my colleagues at the University of Minnesota for the opportunity to work with them. So thank you very much.